Hey guys, welcome back. Today we're going to talk about the two reasons why you can't quit porn. But first we need to look at what it means to be in alignment, for you to be in alignment with yourself. What it takes to cross, as they say, the greatest distance in the universe, that 14 inches between your head and your heart. Lame. That is lame, but it is true that it's difficult to take what you know intellectually and translate that into your behavior, and especially to do it consistently. I mean, if you can't do it consistently, it's not really change. You need to take your ideals and make them a part of who you are. That can be difficult. Now, the way that most people go about doing this is repetition, you know, trying to form new habits, in a sense, trying to muscle memory your way into mental health. And, you know, hey, it worked. It got you to improve your golf swing enough to get you down to 4 handicap. So maybe it'll help you get over your breakup. I get it. But I think there's something more fundamental going on. You know, the same thing with community and social support, that can help you change as well. But there's something more fundamental that we need to pay attention to. Now, the first reason why you can't quit porn is because you don't even know what the problem is. You think the problem is the porn. Now, how this works is, okay, so porn is here. This is you using porn. Now, a lot of people think like, oh, it causes dopamine or something, or it makes me feel good. Like the porn is this bad thing out there that's making me watch it. But that's not what's happening at all. There's something that happened. There's a problem that forms before the porn, and the porn is an attempt at a solution to the problem. The first step is you have a healthy need. In your overall behavioral pattern or loop that people go through, the first step is you have a healthy need. Then what happens is you repress that healthy need. Healthy need, how it feels emotionally to you, is just anger. So you repress that anger. You say, ooh, that's bad. I can't have that. Or if I have that, people won't like me. So then when you're repressing healthy needs, what do? Inevitably is you isolate. And when you isolate, you feel shame, of course. And then you're in a lot of pain here. And the pain, or the porn, is a way to cover up the pain. It's an unguent. It's an analgesic for the pain. So you can definitely try to connect the head and the heart when you don't even know what the problem is. But then it's, you know, right? You need to look at the nature of the thing that has the problem if you're going to solve the problem. It's not head and your heart at that point. It's delusion and heart. Right, if you have a gas problem, you need to look at where the gas comes from and not just hold in farts, right? Another great fart analogy. And this is a great analogy because in modern therapy, one side tells you that, like, hey, anybody who tells you that your farts are gross or wrong, well, they're the ones who have the problem. And then the other side of modern therapy gives you strategies to hold in farts. And it thinks like, hey, if you just hold in farts well enough, then it's going to rewire your butt and you won't have to fart anymore. Whereas I think the right way to approach this is to, you know, create a healthier diet for yourself. Eat healthier. And so you don't fart as much. And when you do, it's not as painful. You're still going to fart, but then it's going to be in a certain context and it's going to be funnier. Right? Because farts are objectively the funniest thing ever. And it's not even about eating a healthier diet. It's really about getting you to create a better relationship with food so you can go on to eat a healthier diet on your own. And when it comes to porn, a lot of guys are stuck in the holding the fart stage of development, right? This is the guy who tries to create some kind of regimen around porn while he continues to pound the, you know, the so-called, if the analogy carries over, the psychic burritos, the psychic nachos. And he falls off the wagon. And it's, you know, not because he's wrong or because he's bad. He just hasn't managed his fundamental issue, right? So that's the first reason you can't quit porn, is because you don't even know what the problem is. You think the problem is porn. But what I want to talk about today, yeah, this has all been intro. What I want to talk about today is even when you do see the problem correctly, that the porn is only this analgesic, this unguent, you still use the porn, right? Because the porn is a compensation for how you mismanage emotions. Now, the intellectual awareness that, oh, because you are repressing anger, this causes you to use porn, this will probably help you manage emotions somewhat. But as long as the unconscious anger affects you in different ways, especially your relationship with women or your mom, if we're talking about porn, you're still going to use porn. So how do you get this to become changed, to take what you know intellectually and make it behavior. That's what we're going to talk about today through the ritual. So first we'll discuss what the ritual is, how it's different than a routine. That's a good way to talk about it, is just to differentiate it from a routine. Then we'll discuss how the ritual relates with resistance, and then we'll go through some examples to make this more clear. So first, what is the ritual? The ritual is a set of activities that you are able to do consistently that help you regulate your fundamental emotional issue. Now, usually ritual is just how pretentious people refer to a routine, and it is that, but also I think there's an extra differentiation in ritual that a lot of people don't understand, but we'll talk about it. So a ritual is not a routine. The ritual focuses on your psyche, and routine focuses on the symptom. It focuses on the behavior. So let's just go back to the pattern here. The ritual will focus here on the emotion, on your psyche, and the routine will focus on the porn loop. The ritual focuses on the beginning of the emotional pattern, on the behavioral loop that you go through, while the routine focuses on the end. So put it another way, the ritual expresses emotions to meet a primary healthy need, and a routine represses emotions to meet a secondary healthy need. A secondary healthy need at best, but an unhealthy need at worst. So in the context of porn use, I guess the primary need would be you talking with women. A secondary need would be you getting a girlfriend, and an unhealthy need would be you trying to make a particular girl your girlfriend. So that's one differentiation. The other differentiation here is a routine may be needed in certain short-term instances. You know, especially when you're in preparation for like a certain acute situation, like a competition or presentation or some project deadline at work. So routine's good for some kind of damage control, but the ritual serves as a support, as a basis for the routine. And it's going to help render the routine more natural, more effortless. And yeah, when you put the ritual first, the routine is going to be healthier. Going to go more likely to go after a healthy need rather than an unhealthy need. And with routine, you're focused on the behavior, the outcome. Like I said, with a ritual, you're focused on awareness. So with a ritual, you take all that money that you put on the outcome, which you don't control anyway, by the way. And the more you try to control that, you may get it short term, but the less likely you're going to be able to hold on to it. So the ritual takes all that focus and puts it on your awareness. Right. The principle behind the routine is before you can live how you want, you need to first look at your life how it is. Otherwise, growth is going to be some constant struggle. And again, you think that you're the problem when you're not the problem at all. You just don't know what the situation is. Because you don't know what the situation is, you go in it with the wrong intention, with some adulterated intention, with the intention of running away from the anxiety rather than face the anxiety. So I know that we're talking about porn here, but let's use money as an example to add an extra layer of comprehension. So if you want to create a better relationship with money, typically what you do is you create a budget and you set out to only spend a certain amount of money in certain areas of your life. You know how a budget works. And while this may help to curb consumption short term, it fails to address the issue that leads to the overconsumption. So adherence to it, you know, sputters out. Now, if you don't have a psychological issue, then a budget will solve the problem. You don't need any extra help. You're fine. what would a ritual version of a budget look like? It's going to be something that's more simple, but it's also more difficult in that it's going to confront the anxiety. So what you would do rather than say, okay, I'm only going to spend this much money in a certain time or place, you just track how much money do I make each week? How much money do I spend? And you simply write it down and you look at it and you work through any uncomfortable emotions that come up when you may look at this. Now think about how that feels. to write down what you make and what you spend, or look at what's in your account each day or once a week or whatever you decide your ritual to be, we'll get to it, rather than make loud proclamations about how you're only going to spend so much money in a certain day. I remember I did that in high school. I said, I'm only going to spend $5 a day on food. Why? It felt really good for me to say that. It was a great distraction from other anxiety that I felt at the time. Looking back, it was clearly around girls, right? A budget makes you feel elated, self-righteous, like you're better than others, as opposed to how it feels, you know, when you look at just black and white, how much you make and how much you spend. One's a delusion, the other's a reality. It's drunkenness versus sobriety. One's a struggle, the other's painful. And part of growth is handing in your struggle, and what you get back is pain. You need to exchange your struggle for pain. And it doesn't feel like a good deal at first, but believe me, it is the greatest deal in the history of the universe. So I guess to put this idiomatically, the ritual takes the pressure off, which gets you to a psychological headspace from which you're more likely to stick to, in this case, a particular budget. Right? The ritual doesn't, like with money, the ritual with money, with tracking money, it doesn't give you more money, right? But it does give you breathing room. It gives you breathing room around money. Not that you feel like you have more money, but it gives you the breathing room around money that you would feel if you did, in fact, have more money. But the main difference, okay, so that's another difference between the ritual and the routine. There's an example to help clarify that. But the main difference, I think, is the ritual processes resistance and the routine does not in any way. What is resistance? It's unconscious fear. And the point of the ritual is to work through this unconscious fear consistently. Again, it's not easy, just simple. You're trading struggle for the pain. So what is resistance? Resistance, yeah, it's unconscious fear. It's fear that you feel that it just feels normal. It just feels like a reality. Now, a part of you knows that something is off, especially because you're probably exhausted all the time from all the resistance that you feel on a continual basis. But resistance is, you know, it's just that unconscious effort to maintain the status quo, to avoid change, to do all that good stuff that fear does. It just does it unconsciously. Like, if you just feel stuck and you don't know why and your life looks the same this year as it did last year, that's resistance. That's unconscious fear. And you're putting all these routines on top of that and you are making it worse for yourself. You're making it way more difficult, way more of a struggle. But the payoff there is you get to avoid pain. Resistance is unconscious, and it usually feels like just kind of blah, but it can get triggered by certain needs and challenges that come up, in which case it usually erupts how we typically feel it, right? When a challenge out there comes into our life and it triggers the resistance, when the resistance comes out, it's usually excuses, right? If only society was different. You know, what about this one particular situation, this person in my life? Yeah, but you know, my one situation, I'm too old, too fat, whatever, too young, too tall, too short. My problems aren't that much of a, they aren't that big of a deal, so it's not really that serious to change, you know, stuff like that. Ultimately, what an excuse says, though, is this change doesn't feel like me. And of course, the change doesn't feel like you. What feels like you is your familiarity and your stagnation, right? It's like if you stop working out because your muscles feel different. When you work out, your muscles feel different than how they feel when you're watching Futurama. Oh, I better stop working out. Like, no, that's kind of the point. You don't want them to feel that way when you're watching Futurama. Now, I know resistance feels destructive. And it is destructive, I guess, but it's also normal and it's healthy and it's to be expected. And it's a sign, you know, it's a good sign. It when you're feeling the resistance, it means that you're challenging yourself, because that's how you feel it, is when a challenge comes out there. You know, somebody says, oh, how about you do this? And you go, yeah, but, you know, that's the resistance being challenged. So it's always going to occur. It's always going to occur as long as you're in a situation where your central issue will be challenged. Right. So that's why you can't stop watching porn. Because you failed to address. You failed to address your emotional issue that leads to the addictive compulsive behavior in the first place, the porn use, and you fail to address that emotional issue on a consistent basis in a way that you are able to address it. So how about this? Rather than always try to cut down on the porn that you watch, now if that works, then do it. I don't know. But if that doesn't work, if you feel like you're just keep getting back to square one and you don't feel like you ever improve, simply track how much porn you watch. Start there. Yes, in whatever ways you can, manage your anger. Manage how you express anger. In particular, if we're talking about porn use, it's going to be more likely to be anger around women, maybe your mom. You're probably going to need therapy for this. But in the meantime, simply track how much porn you watch. And look at it. And look at how you judge yourself. Look at the anxiety, the self-criticism that comes up when you look at it. And manage that. Manage that emotional baggage. I think it's going to lead to less porn watching. More importantly, it's a microcosm for how growth feels. Growth doesn't feel like I'm never watching porn again. I mean it this time, you guys. I'm serious. Growth feels like, let's just look at what's going on here. Take a deep breath. I know it's going to be painful, but let's just sit down and talk about it. That's what growth feels like. I think it's in us to have a ritual. You know, I think of the Pueblo, the Indians, right, who would play a drum to make sure the sun comes up every morning. You know, it was some guy's job in the tribe to do this. Or mass, you know, the Christian Catholic mass, which is just individuation in symbolic form. Jung talks about that. He makes a very convincing case. Just the million different baptism ceremonies. We have rituals. The only question is whether the ritual is going to wake us up or put us to sleep. Now, most of the rituals that you do, they're unconscious, right? This is popularly known as OCD, or just the compulsion part of OCD, like cleaning, Wikipedia, internet, of course, porn use. These are rituals that we do to help us soothe our pain. Now, you're going to do that anyways. So let's just get out in front of it. Look at the right part of our behavioral loop. You know, analyze the problem for what it is. Look at the right part of our behavioral loop and just focus on the right part. And however good it feels to clean the kitchen rather than work on something, rather than work on a project at work, it can feel that way. But it's going to improve. It's going to lead to the diminishment of your symptoms. Right? Like with food. Your food that you eat, it affects you. It, of course, affects you. Now, I think some people are more in tune with the effects of that than others, but it does affect you. And you're going to have to eat it anyway. So let's look at the nature of food and what it is and not just stick to some diet that makes us feel good when really what we're doing is we're getting granular about particulars that don't even mean that much. But it all comes from, you got to look at what's going on. First thing you need to do is you need to know your loop, which I share with you here. The rough overview, at least. Then you need to identify your issue. Then you need to learn how to talk through your issue in a healthy way. This is your loop and honesty. And when you engage with these two things enough, when you understand that your behavior has a pattern to it, that when you find yourself watching porn or doing anything else you don't want to do, it's because you started off by mismanaging emotions that led you here. You need to get very clear about that. Then you need to learn how to talk through it. I'm not going to go into that here. I mean, I go into that in other videos. And this will give you all the information you need to create your own ritual. Now, I gave you some techniques here, like tracking money or tracking anything that's like ritual best practices. But the ritual's not going to matter that much until you make it your own thing, until you identify your fundamental issue and see, here's how I'm going to work on it. Here, how I am able to work on it. joinanimus.com/schedule. If nothing else, I'll just let you know what your loop is. I mean, you know what your loop is, but I'm going to help you identify it, see how it comes up in your life. And if you want to know more about what I do, then you can, then we can talk about that. joinanimus.com/schedule. Thank you guys. And remember that the question to ask yourself isn't what should I do? It is what am I able to do?